Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 32 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. Places we'll be visiting today include the US, Brazil, Israel, and Kenya, as well as cyberspace. We'll start with a lovely comment we got from Anastasia Priyanikova in the US. So let's go absolutely yours. Anastasia told us, "I always look forward to your podcast. I love your engaging style and the way..." Oh, I can't carry on. It's too nice. "Your new Absolutely Lifelong column is a great idea. I'm interested in informal learning, and I certainly consider your podcast as part of my personal learning experience. I think we all benefit when we find new ways to share learning across borders." Well, thank you, Anastasia. And I had a look at your blog, and I found it really interesting. It's got lots of really good advice for teachers, even though your specialism is law. A lot of what you say is generally applicable. So thanks for your kind words. And if anybody else would like to leave a comment, whether you want to suggest an improvement, tell us about your experiences, or just to say you like it, then please go to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and add it there. Or what about sending us an audio comment? Send it to us at contact@absolutely-intercultural.com and you might hear yourself in an upcoming show. Now, we're going to be absolutely childish. How so? Having children is something which is pretty much a universal experience in all cultures and which is therefore surrounded by tradition and custom. So what happens when a Kenyan woman has her first child in Germany?
My name is Colette Wanjuku Dopna. I come from Kenya, but I've been living in Germany for the last 6 years. I'm 31 years old, married, and have 9-month-old son.
Now, I remember that we first met when you were pregnant, and even at that time, you were expressing some concerns.
I think at the beginning, it was more of a surprise for me to see how much attention pregnant mothers are afforded here in Germany, and I guess maybe in Europe. And I was really surprised to see how much difference there is between my culture, Kenyan or African culture, and the German culture when it comes to taking care of pregnant mothers and all that they have to go through during the period where they're pregnant. And I was actually feeling that I was getting too much attention. Because as soon as I went to the doctor and she found out that I was pregnant, the first thing I got was a mother passport or something like this. And in this book, they put in all the details during the period of my pregnancy. So they would measure everything, my weight, my blood pressure, anything usual and unusual would be put in there. And they would give me like fixed appointments that I had to go to. Well, I had the feeling to go to because I was never really given the choice of not going to. So the doctor would tell me very strongly, "See you on the 19th of whatever." And I found this very, very interesting. Yeah, of course, the attention was very good. And yeah, but I remember towards the end of my pregnancy, it became a little bit strange to have to go to the doctor every 2 weeks. And I was thinking, oh my, this is really, interesting. I actually felt at some point that I didn't have any private space anymore. I was surrounded by the doctors and the nurses, and then there was then the fact of my family also being concerned. I had to tell them after every visit to the doctor what the doctor said, and I found this really unusual. When you compare it to Kenya, most of the time you're pregnant and most of the people don't even get to know about your pregnancy until they see it. And I mean, you don't really, first of all, you don't tell anybody. I mean, apart from maybe your husband and close, maybe your children or something. Not even the children, I think just the husband gets to know. And then you go to the doctor. At one point, you go to the doctor. And, of course, I think the doctors do recommend that you go for regular checkups. But this is open. And I remember, like, a friend of mine just got her kid in December. And I think she went to the doctor maybe 3 times during the whole pregnancy. And compared to me, I think I was at the doctor almost 20 times. And this is such a huge difference. And every time she went, it was willingly, just to make sure that everything is okay. And I found this difference. I mean, I was telling her about it, and she was really surprised. She was like, "What? Was something wrong with the baby?" And I told her, no, it's normal. They do it like this, and it's really, interesting. Well, I have to say I didn't mind this part. I mean, for me, it was nice to know that everything is okay and that somebody's taking care of you. I remember my friend telling me that in Kenya you have to be a kind of a survivor. You have to be hardened when you're pregnant because you just get pregnant and at some point your child comes to this world and really you just have to be strong and because nobody's giving you so much attention and that's a really huge difference. Mm-hmm. The other difference I found is like the interest in which your family and maybe the society around you or maybe the friends around you take in your pregnancy. I remember I told my husband first, of course, and then the next thing was to tell my parents-in-law. And this is something that wouldn't happen in Kenya. It's not a huge ceremony, but I remember here it was a really huge ceremony. We took a bottle of sparkling wine and went and sat down with my parents-in-law and told it to them officially. And that was even before they could see anything at all. And in the course of the following weeks, we kept on telling our friends officially.
I guess it must be rather disconcerting for something which normally passes unremarked to be transformed into an important rite of passage. We'll be hearing more from Colette in future shows about how she fares with bringing up her baby in Germany. As you heard in our last show, I gave a talk about this podcast and how it can be used in the language classroom at the Webheads in Action online convergence conference a couple of weeks ago. There were a number of sessions over that long weekend which touched on intercultural matters, and since most of the sessions were recorded, you can go to the webheadsinaction.org website and listen to the archives yourself. But one session in particular I thought would be of interest to our audience here. It was led by Elaine Hota in Israel, who we featured on Absolutely Intercultural last summer. In this session, she was explaining in more detail the tripartite collaboration between student teachers from the 3 main cultural communities of Israel. The collaboration is based on the contact hypothesis of cultural tolerance. So, in spite of the lower sound quality, let's go absolutely theoretical and learn more about this theory.
I wanted just to give the theory that our material is based on. We've used the contact theory, the contact hypothesis. Here's sort of an update version of it. Pettigrew and Trop, which say in the right conditions, contact could reduce bias between groups. They mention as necessary conditions the long-term contact between groups rather than individuals, between people of equal status, supported at institutional level, and based on cooperation rather than competition. The secular religious section is the biggest section. And we have the Arab sector here. And then we have the Jewish religious. And the other sector is the independent education in Israel. So we're talking about bias between these groups and trying to reduce bias by making connections between groups. Now, what we've learned from the contact theory, we've tried to adapt to what we've called the distant contact model, which is the model that Mary Asper and I developed. And let me give you just in a nutshell what we're talking about. We're again talking about equality of status and collaboration. Our project has to be supported by institutions. The project is over a year. We know we can't make sustainable results in a very short time of period, so it's over a year. It's based on collaboration, working groups, small groups, one from each college. And here's the difference, how we're using the internet to try to reduce bias between groups. The thing is, the groups would never meet. They would never meet, and if we invited the three groups, they wouldn't come. Well, my population wouldn't come. So the connection is gradual. We start on the writing level. We start where we can't see each other. We start when there's less fear of what we're doing. So first comes the writing. Then we add the voice, so everyone can hear each other. Then we have the collaboration, when they work in small groups together, doing original projects. We're working on in interesting areas, which are relevant to teacher educators all over, wherever they come from whichever culture. And then we move to the face-to-face. We feel that we are convinced that this gradual process, through this gradual process, through using the internet, we're able to reach our aims of teaching the internet, teaching skills of the internet, and at the same time, reducing bias between groups.
I'm sure that you can think of many different applications of the theory, for example, in the case of foreign internships and how these could be made more effective. Finally today, we'll be going absolutely personal and hearing from a person who's spending 2 years in Florida and who's finding that all the easy stereotypes simply do not work.
Hi guys, I am Carla Rina, and I am a Brazilian living in Key West right now in Florida. I am an EFL teacher.
Can we first of all talk about your move to Florida?
Yes, I'm going to be staying here for 2 years because of my husband's job. And then I'll be back to Brasilia in Brazil.
And so Florida is an area with a Latino population, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, totally.
But Latino means one thing to the Americans, and maybe you interpret it a little bit differently. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I think, in fact, there is a kind of a misunderstanding about the Latinos, because the fact is that most of the Latinos speak Spanish, and I don't. Like, Brazil is the only country in South America that speaks Portuguese. So what happens to me here is that people think that I should be speaking Spanish, and I don't. I don't speak Spanish at all. In fact, I'm taking classes right now to see if I can really improve that. And what happens to me here is that I go to the supermarkets, to the stores here, and I speak English to people. And generally, they come from, there are many people working here that they are Latinos. So they speak to me, I speak to them in English, and they reply in Spanish. And I keep trying to speak English to them, and they keep replying to me in Spanish. And then, you know, they think that I'm kind of stuck up, conceited. You know, why is this Latino woman speaking English to me if she can speak Spanish, you know? So I think, you know, it's all about stereotypes, I would say. And in Florida, there are some interesting things. Like, if you go to Miami, for example, there are some stores that they have, like, a sign written like this. We speak English here.
Well, I thought that would just be to help the tourists, because I have been to Florida. It was a long time ago, and nobody tried to speak Spanish to me. Do you think it could have something to do with the fact that I have red hair?
For sure. And it's really funny because, you know, I look like a Latino. I think people would say that I am from Cuba, for example. And my husband, although he's a Brazilian, and there is this stereotype that Brazilians are all like they have dark hair, my husband looks like an American, you know, like the blonde stereotype that we have. So to him, it happens exactly the opposite. They start speaking English to him, and then they notice that he has a different accent. So then they move to Spanish. So it's really interesting. Yes, yes. And they are surprised that my husband is fluent in Spanish. So it's about stereotypes, really. And sometimes it's interesting because we try to break these stereotypes, and it's my opportunity here to show as many people as I can that, you know, a little bit about my country and that we don't speak Spanish and things like that. A little bit of demystifying what we are.
I'll be talking again with Carla about her work on intercultural student projects in future shows. In the meantime, it seems that her stay in Florida is going to give her lots of food for thought. Well, that's it for today. Don't forget that our very own Carsten Knese will participate in a panel about the future of Educasts at 5 p.m., I think that's 1500 GMT, on June the 20th for the podcast day 2007. You'll find all the links to the topics that I've mentioned on the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Our next show will be coming to you from Germany on June the 15th. So stay tuned and don't forget to tell us what you think on our blog.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.